Here we are, April 7th, 2013, morning service. We are going to look at, Timothy this morning. Not the books, but the person, Timotheus. And I have the panel talk screen down, so if you type anything, I don't know that you're typing it. Matter of fact, I'm going to get my digital out here and put it in my pocket and back up this thing in case I don't record it right. So that's in my pocket now. Why don't I just do a quick check here? The screen's on, the microphone's on, the radio's on, the work things are working. I think everything looks good. So let me get my mind off the screen here and let's get into this. Who's this Timotheus guy? I mean, what? We know the books Timothy 1 and Timothy 2, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, we know that. But let's just look at some things that Paul says about this Timotheus guy. I got one question I can't really answer. And I know there's a reason. It probably has to do with the language and all that stuff, I guess. Greek, and I don't know. But it's just odd that sometimes Paul calls him Timothy and sometimes he calls him Timotheus. And I suppose it's a lot like a guy's name is Bill, and you call him William. Sometime you call him Bill, I guess. Mike, Michael. Beck, Becky, Rebecca. Jeanette, Jenny, Nettie. You know, let me see what we got going on here. What else we got up here? Chris, Chrissy, Bob, Robert, Bobby. If I remember, I probably don't remember them all, but you got Patience, Pater, Pay. Even to this day, they irritate me. Andrea, Drea, Anne. So anyway, that's all I can come up with for the difference between Timothy and Andy. Andy, there you go. That's all I can come up with for Timotheus and Timothy because they're so interspersed that it is not two different guys. There's always that possibility that it's two different guys. But the way they're mixed in together, no, he's talking about one guy, Timothy and Timotheus here. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this a little differently because I feel pretty perky this morning. If you have a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen or whatever, you know, we're going to go through the verses that have Timotheus and Timothy in them. And let's do this together. Let's do a Bible study sermon together. And let's see what we come up with. Now, I've been through the verses, and I've seen them, and there's a lot of good key points in here about this guy, and it does have a lot to do with us. There's no doubt. But instead of me taking that extra day or two, which I don't have yet, and put this together into this nice, good speech or fair speech and explain to people who this Timothy is and how important he is to us, let's all do this. Let's all take a piece of paper or two or a notebook or whatever, and let's look at these verses and let's point out some of these highlights and let's organize them into some basic thoughts here. See, this is what we would be doing this summer if I were to do that. Not just going to spill my brains because my brains still have nothing in it. My memory is like worthless. And yet I can remember stupid things from TV years ago. But I love my Bible. I love it. I know things that are going wrong in people's lives. I know things that are going wrong in my life. I know the problems we're all having, you know. And I tell you, the book, the Bible, the King James Bible, rightly divided, explains everything. It doesn't solve everything. I mean, it could, but we have to be the ones to get into the book, flip the pages, look for the stuff, and realize what we have to do to fix our lives. Yep. We have the same battles Paul did when it comes to the flesh, the mind serving the law of God and the flesh serving the law of sin. That's a constant battle. It's a constant battle. And maybe I should say this. It's not really a battle anymore because people are letting the flesh win. We just are. We're struggling to survive. and we do everything we can. Maybe we shouldn't say everything we can. We go to great extents. We try really hard to not have to suffer any persecution. And I would venture to say that much of our persecution is because of stupid decisions we've all made. I have no problem with that. And I know that these kids, if they get any kind of Jesus out of this band last night, I have no doubt that it's the Antichrist Jesus thinking, spirit of Antichrist. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. But you're going to tell that to somebody else? They're not going to know what you're talking about. I did have a chance last week to talk with a parent and a teacher, and I managed to bring in the tribulation, how things are going, Romans chapter 1. I managed to get that stuff in there. So, this Bible is fantastic. It's utterly the most fantastic thing in the world. And I'm so glad that Jesus is not expecting me to stop sinning. I'm thrilled and thankful that he took care of sin by taking care of the law and by imputing his righteousness to me. I'm thrilled about that. And yet there are people I care enough about that I still want to see them do the right thing, do the right decision, make the right decision, stand on your own amongst the enemy you have within your own neighborhood, home, or work circle, or whatever. And I think I probably have preached that enough times that you would think I'm preaching that you need to stop sinning. I'm as big on that as any stop sinning preacher, you know, kind of a thing. And maybe I'd like to get off that. Maybe I should get off of that and let people read for themselves. And we can explain the doctrine of Paul again this summer, whatever. So, anyway, this book is fantastic. So to sit down here this morning, and let's just look at the verses, and maybe you can see how I come up with what I come up with. I guess I should give myself a little positive PR, I suppose. I mean, this is what you do, and you come up with these conclusions, because, one, you know these are the exact words God wants us to read. So there's no, I'm not trying to figure out a different and better word. Maybe he means this instead. None of that takes place. I'm looking to this book like, there's all the words. Now let's read this thing and let's see what he says. And if I don't understand that word, don't correct the word. Let's try to understand the word that he used or what he's trying to say there. And as we get into this morning, we will see, I'm already talking 10 minutes with just intro here, we will see that Timothy is more than just his buddy. And the book of Timothy is important to us, and we'll see why. And we'll see some things in here that when we read Timothy, we read about Timotheus, I look at it like we're actually, shut the door, I hear somebody in the building. I think I did, maybe. And although I'm okay to be here. And yet, when we're reading about Timothy and Timotheus, we're kind of looking at the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. Because they're kind of the same thing. You know, what Paul taught Timothy is what we read in the book of Timothy. So, reading about Timothy and Timotheus is somewhat is reading about the 1st and 2nd book of Timothy. Does that make sense? Well, I'm not going to look at your answers anyway. So here we go. First, let's start with Timotheus. And you know, the more I look at this thing, this may be a two-parter, actually, because there's a lot of good stuff in here. Let's go to Acts chapter 16, verse 1. So, what you do is you write down Acts 16, colon, 1. And we read it as you look into your King James Bible. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there. I like that. Certain disciple. There's a certain guy there that's important here. His name is Timotheus. Okay, and he's the son of a certain woman. Well, yeah, we all are sons of certain women. But this is a certain woman. Kind of a special woman here. Now look at this. She was a Jewess, which is a female Jew, a lady Jew, woman Jew, whatever. She was a Jewess. So that makes this Timotheus guy Jewy. Now remember, we associate, or at least I do, you may never have gone along with this thing, but I associate Jewish teachings, Jewish mentality about the law. I compare, associate that, or sublime it, or not sublime it, or simile it, or metaphor it to modern Christians today that are Bible people, where they think that the law is still, now that you're saved, now you've got the power of Jesus on you to walk the law and to do the Gospels. See, Gospels are Jewish teachings to the Jews. And there's things they have to do and not do. And most Christians say that are sincere and serious Christians believe that that's their law they have to follow. And but Jesus is in them, so he'll help them walk that law. So they think that they're actually walking better, and they're better Christians, better than the Jews ever have been, better than they will be in the tribulation, better than Noah's time and Adam's time and all this kind of stuff, because they have Jesus in them, and so they can walk this Jewish stuff, even though they don't look at it as Jewish stuff. So anyway, I compare, when I see Jew and Jewish and the Jews and stuff, I actually compare that thing to modern Christians, serious Christians. So, here's this woman, which was a Jewess, so she had this law stuff in her, and it says, and believed. Oh, well, that makes a difference. See, we have a lot of people today who are, they believe, they are a believer, as they call it, and they're looking to Jewish teachings, da-da-da-da, the Gospels and all that. Does that make sense? I hope it makes sense. And so, here's a believing Jewess mother for Timothy. And she's a believer. A believer in what fashion? Well, when a Jew is a believer, they believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Timothy's mother is not a born-again Christian. She just believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So she's a believer. But his father, well, he was a Greek. Greeks are different. The Jew is looking for the signs, but then she's a believer. And this Greek guy, well, he was into the knowledge stuff, the wisdom and all that. So, do you see what we have here? We have here in Acts 16:1 an illustration or an example to show us that Timothy must have had problems at home. His mother was a Jewish believer. His father was a Greek. Talk about conflict. Well, what do we got in our homes today? In our Paul homes. Well, we got one guy, or the lady, whichever, is a believer, is a Christian. And hopefully not caught up in the Gospels. And then you got somebody else in the family who isn't, but they're knowledgeable, and they're smart, and they know the world well, or they don't know the world well. Maybe they're caught up in the Gospel stuff, but they don't get into the Paul stuff. So maybe they're still Jewish in their teachings, and then they're not a believer based on Paul's teachings. They're not a Christian. They are a Jewish person, but Jewish teachings, and sure they believe that Jesus was the Son of God, is the Son of God, was the Son of God, always will be, but there's still a huge difference in our families. So let's just remember that Timothy, he had home difficulties, he had home challenges. Well, it doesn't say that there. I think it does. Why would God want us to know that this Timotheus guy, this Timothy guy, a certain disciple, not apostle, just a disciple, a follower of Christ, you know, and mom was a believing Jewess and dad was a Greek. God is telling us we got a home situation here that's very difficult. Okay, so just keep that in mind. Difficult home situation. Okay. How many of us have difficult home situations? Boom, up go all the hands. Yeah, I know you do, I know you do, I know you do, I know you do, I know you don't, because you're by yourself, and that's a fortunate thing. And like Paul says, if you want to serve God by following Paul as much as you can, you need to be single. That's what he says. Be like I am. I mean, don't get yourself hooked up in the marriage thing. But if you do, you've got to back off on some of this Paul stuff. You've got to take care of each other's needs. You just have to do that. And that's okay, unless it causes you not to be the Christian, which Paul says, then if your partner, whatever, it doesn't say partner, but if you're within the home and the husband or wife will not allow you to be the Christian you want to be and you should be, then you can leave. If it's a divorce, if it's a son or daughter thing, hit the road. Get out of there so you can serve, you know, the way you'd like to. And if the marriage is mixed up and you got kids, tough decision. So I won't even go there. But Paul does show that divorce is okay under those circumstances. It isn't just adultery. It isn't just, that's all that the modern Bible guys say, you know. What about the fact that the husband won't allow the daughter or the wife to be the Christian that Paul has taught us to be instead of following this gospel stuff, which means don't go to those ridiculous mainstream churches, which means don't go to these Bible studies, don't go to this counseling stuff. If you don't want to participate in that stuff, you have every right, I hate to use the word right, but you have every reason in the world, according to Paul, to say, listen, if you're going to force this on me, I'm out of here and I've got God's blessings. 1 Corinthians 7. I think that's where it's at. What about the kids? Well, hey, make that another sermon. What good are you doing sticking around arguing about the false gospel stuff? Tough stuff. Tough decision to make. But God does say here, if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. God hath called us to peace. God wants us to have peace. And if there's a person that is causing that peace not to be there, and you're doing the right thing in your peace, then he says, you know, you can leave. And how many of us have considered that? Or deal with that? Remember the, I don't remember, let's see if I remember this stuff. As a Christian, Paul tells us to, let's see here, what is it? Decide, despise, destroy. He says we're going to make some decisions of the right kind of decisions for a change. We're going to pray. We're going to have tears. We're going to have long suffering. We need to have patience. We need to have, I can't remember them all. Don't even type them because I'm not looking at the screen. But he also says it comes time to rebuke. He also says it comes time for reproof. And then he says if that doesn't work, it's time to depart. And if that doesn't fix anything, ship them off to the world. So why would you want to stick around a place where you're being told by God to depart, and if you're not careful, you're going to get shipped off to the world? It's just that, you know, be turned over to Satan. And what does it say in Timothy about women? Most of them have already turned over to Satan. How's that go here? It goes 1 Timothy 5. I think it's 1 Timothy 5. Yeah. They have cast off their first faith. They've begun to wax wanton against Christ. How many do that when they stay around this stuff? That's what happens. Now here it is, 15. For some have already turned aside after Satan. Is that what we're going to do to keep, you know? So anyway, boy, that's a lot of yak. Well, we're not going to make through this thing this morning like I thought. So Timotheus, part 2 tonight. But anyway, so here's our first illustration. Timothy had it rough. Timothy did. He had a rough at home. He had to. There's just no way around it. Your dad's a Greek and your mom's a believing Jewess. In his day, that had to have been a tough thing right then and there. We got the same stuff going on today. We've either got gospel Christians or no Christian or prideful, selfish Christians within our homes to where we have to deal with the frustrations that we have. Okay. That's the first one, point one. Timothy had home battles too. Okay. Well, let's go to... I mean, we're just looking at these verses that came in the order that Timotheus has mentioned here, okay? So that's what we're doing here. We're going to put this sermon together so when we're done, we'll have a sermon. But then I wanted to preach it because we've already talked about it. Acts 7, I'm gonna put the screen up. Are you all still there? Have I bored you away? No, you're all still there. Acts 17:14. Not a big deal here. It says there, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul. Now, you go back and you look at the story that was taking place there. But we're not going to go as it were to the sea. They sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Okay, so picture this. You read slowly, picture this thing. Paul, they're getting Paul out of this whole mess here, and Silas and Timothy are still there. But then look at verse 15. And they conducted Paul, I like that, conducted Paul. They directed his life, that's what a conductor does. Who conducted Paul during this whole time, brought him unto Athens. And receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now, wasn't that odd? They stayed when they got Paul out of there. But the next verse, those people that conducted Paul, brought him into Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. That's all. Just a point of activity noted there. Acts 18:5, here's another one. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. See, there it is again, bunny trail. Paul told the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That's what Paul had to tell the Jews, because we know in the Gospels, especially in John, that that's what they had to believe. So when these modern Christians, I know I'm repeating myself again, I know that these modern Christians who go to John especially for verses about believing and being born again, that those verses are talking about believing that Jesus was Christ. So I have to ask these modern Christians today, is that what salvation is believing that Jesus was Christ? Well, no, why do you go to the Gospels when that's what they're talking about? You can't go to the Gospels and tweak them to fit Paul. Anyway, so here's Timotheus and Silas. I mean, Silas was there, you know. But we don't have any books called Silas. You know, first and second Silas. Timotheus is the guy we're looking at here. And so Timothy was present when Paul was pressed in the spirit. Pressed in the spirit. You ever been pressed in the spirit? See, that's different than being led of God to do such and such for somebody or to say something. No, pressed in the spirit. That's when we are being, I guess all I can say is that's when we're being pressed in the spirit. This rock concert stuff. I'm pressed in the spirit to talk to some of these kids if I need to, if they come to me. I'm not gonna start it up, but if they come to me and say what they're gonna say, wasn't the music great, da 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 da, I'm pressed in the spirit. I gotta testify to these guys that you know, I'm gonna do it by asking them a question. Do you think really God is into that? Does he want that? Or, you know, give me, why do you think that, where do you get that from? So Timothy was present with Paul here when Paul was pressed in the spirit. So, Acts 19:22. Here's another point now we got here. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. Well, there's Erastus. Good for him. But we don't have any books, first and second Erastus. We got Timothy. Now, what was one of the things Timothy was doing, and Erastus as well? He was ministering unto Paul. See? He ministered unto Paul. I mean, there are people that should minister to these guys that are teaching and preaching Paul. And I'm not blabbing. I'm not trying to get any hints. I just have to say it anyway. But here's Paul. When Paul's stuff is being preached out of a Bible, there are people that need to minister unto that guy that's preaching that stuff. Because that's what Timotheus and Erastus did. Paul needed help. He needed to be ministered unto. And, you know, you folks have done that over these years. I'm not trying to drop any hints or whatever. I'm just saying, this is one of the things that Timotheus did. He ministered unto Paul. That's something that Timothy was doing. Okay, that's interesting. It is to me, anyway. Okay, so there's that one. He ministered unto Paul. Okay, number two, was around when Paul was pressed in the spirit. The other two are just points of historical stuff there. Okay. So we got one, two, three specific things that we know about Timotheus. One is he had a horrible home life, and he was around Paul, and he saw him preach to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. See, now Timothy doesn't preach that, but he was where Paul was doing it, because it was unto the Jews. And then number three here, one, two, three, is he ministered unto Paul. That's what he did. Part of his life was ministering unto Paul. He wasn't so proud that he was doing it himself. He wasn't taking over the ministry. He wasn't trying to be the kingpin. He just he was there to help the guy. Let's look at verse number 4 here. Acts chapter 20, verse 4. As they accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus. I just got a bunny trail this thing. Here's this guy named Secundus. I wonder if he's a second child. And the first child is called Firsticus, and then the third child is called Thirdicus. So there you go. There's how you can name your kids. Anybody that's still going to have any. Firsticus. These are my four children. Firsticus, Secundus, Thirdicus, and Fourthicus, or whatever. And Gaius of Derbe. I wouldn't call my kids Gaius today for anything. And Timotheus. There he is. Okay, so he's part of the gang. And, you know, it's interesting to think that here are these people, they're in the Paul ministry as such, and their names are mentioned in the Word of God. You know? That's it. What do they do? Unless there's something going on, I don't know. But Berea tells me something, and Thessalonians tells me something. And of Asia, that tells me something, and where all the people of Asia were getting rid of their Diane worships and all that stuff. Remember that? So that's important. So these guys are part of all this stuff. This isn't just Paul bopping around by himself necessarily. Okay, so he's just part of the gang. Number four, part of group. I guess I should say group, not gang. Okay, Romans 16:21. Flip your pages to Romans 16:21. And we see here just a simple thing. Romans 16:21. Timotheus, my work fellow. And Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. Okay, but here Timothy is called his work fellow. Boy, so Timothy was quite involved with Paul, wasn't he? He was his work fellow, his work buddy. He was there with him. He ministered unto him. He worked with him. Okay. So that's number five, work fellow. Now here's a big one, number six here, number 6 point here. 1 Corinthians 4:17. 1 Corinthians 4:17. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus. There's Timothy again. Who is my beloved son? There's a point. He's a beloved son. Number six is beloved son. Number seven, he was faithful in the Lord. Okay, so are you getting those written down, I hope? Okay. Who shall bring you meaning me and you, into remembrance of my ways. My is Paul. Which be in Christ, and be in Christ, we learned a long time ago that the Gospels talk about Jesus, but Paul talks about Christ. Christ is the risen term. So we're talking about the risen Savior there. As I teach everywhere in every church. So point eight is Paul's ways. And point nine, taught in every church. Oh yeah, like that's taking place today. Zero. Preachers don't even preach 1 and 2 Timothy. Those are Paul's ways. So this is one of the more, what I call, one of the more bigger verses. Well, 4:17, for this cause. What cause is that, by the way? For this cause. Well, it must be verse 16, be followers of me. So we want to follow Paul. So because of the cause, because of following Paul, he sends us Timotheus. And Timothy, well, he's his beloved son. We'll see that reference more often here. And faithful in the Lord. Okay, he knows what he's talking about because he lives it. Who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. So Paul's ways are in Christ. And Timothy is going to bring that stuff into remembrance to us. And this is the stuff that should be taught in every church. That's a lot of things out of one verse there. So we look at 1 and 2 Timothy, and we realize that, well, 1 and 2 Timothy, those are the ways of Paul. Not the ways of John, not the ways of Peter, not the ways of Matthew or Luke or any of those guys, not the ways of James or Jude, but the ways of Paul, the ways of Christ. Paul's ways are the ways of the risen Savior, and those things should be taught in every church. So 1 and 2 Timothy is supposed to be taught in every church. Wow. Well, we all know this, right? I'm just doing this because I'm like, I guess I do these things like nobody's heard this stuff before. You know, like Jeanette, this is review, but it's just fantastic stuff. It just helps us remind us that we are actually understanding what's going on. And when these things are not taught every way in every church, we know why. We know what's going on. Romans 1:22. When everybody's done with all this stuff, because see, the ways of Paul, which are in Christ, is the goodness of God. That's what Paul's all about, is teaching us the goodness of God. That's his ministry. Ephesians chapter 3. The dispensation of the grace of God. The mystery. What's the mystery? That Gentiles should be fellow heirs under the same body and partakers of the promise. That's Ephesians chapter 3. These are the ways of Christ. This is what we can do that would actually please God, because this is what the ways of Christ, through the ways of Paul, taught to us by Timothy. And there they are. And I could go through them again, but it'll just make people out there angry. And it's all about having a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Trying to do the right thing within the home. And there's some tough stuff in there for men. It isn't just women. You know, where you got this woman thing, you know, professing good works, godliness, you know, professing godliness with good works, learning silence without subjection, modesty and all this kind of stuff. Modesty is more than just clothes. It's your manner, it's your mouth, it's all that kind of stuff, you know. And I'll tell you what, I got to throw it in. Sports does not teach this stuff at all. Zero. It destroys the girls that should be taught this. It destroys that. And as a result, their marriages stink. Because the woman is just like, she's the quarterback. Or she's the end. I guess it depends on, you know, maybe she's the fullback. Maybe she's the kicker, you know, scores those extra points once. I don't know. Maybe she's a track star. She can endure the whole thing. She's Mrs. Wonderful within the home. Well, if the man gets a hold of this stuff in chapter 3, we got a conflict here. But these are the ways of Paul taught to Timothy, and these are the things that are supposed to be taught in every church. And I know we're living in an age where life is what it is. You've got divorces, you've got death, husbands dying, you've got financial disasters because the government wants us to go into debt, and all this kind of stuff. It's all there. People are turning, but you're still turning aside after Satan if there's a working issue. That's what he says. Good works for the lady, the whole thing. People that are rich, not to be high-minded, you know, but all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's in there. 1 and 2 Timothy. Man, those are quite the books. And they're supposed to be taught in every church. And I don't think they're taught in any church. They might pull the one up. Well, I know they do. In 1 Timothy 3, about you must be husband of one wife. That's all they talk about for pastors. They don't talk about the fact that he has to rule his own house well, his children in subjection. So that's why pastors in this situation beat their kids beyond recognition sometimes, just so they are in subjection Is that how the man's going to rule his house? Is with guilt and with preaching, exhortation, and abuse and bashing and all that stuff? Where's the comforting that Paul talks about? You know, it's just Timothy is tough stuff. You get the deacon's wife. I know for a fact, firsthand experience, that a wife can destroy a ministry. You see churches all over the place out there because Jack Hiles taught that the women are the Holy Spirit of their family. So the man's just supposed to go along with it, and she knows what she... And that's what families are doing. And men, we need to read Timothy. We need to read Titus. But we don't need to become tyrants. We don't need to become dictators. We don't need to become abusive. We got to remember what Paul said. Listen, if you want to follow Paul, fine. But when you get married, you got to take care of the needs of the family, too. You got to do what you got to do. And sometimes, apparently, it's not going to go with what Paul teaches. It's not going to be the ways of Christ. But maybe over time, you can blend it in. Maybe over time, you can start teaching this stuff and they'll see it. You know, maybe over time, you need to hit the road. All sorts of decisions. That's a lot out of that one verse, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 4:17. Wow. Supposed to be taught everywhere in every church. So much stuff could be taught there. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 16:10. So far we have 9 points about Timothy. Do you have the 9 points written down? Are you good little students? Are you taking notes of this stuff? Are you maybe underlining your Bible or writing down the 9 things that we've seen so far? Why would I want to do that? You know what? Maybe there's going to come a time that you might be able to teach somebody about this Timothy guy and tell them some things about Timothy that are really interesting over a cup of coffee or a Starbucks chocolate high or a sugar high or whatever. Maybe down at the local fat donut shop, you know, you can, conversation comes up. Somebody's, well, those books of Timothy, I hate those books of Timothy. I don't know why they're even in my Bible. Well, then you can tell them. You know, why Timothy? Where's Timothy come from? We're supposed to follow Paul. Well, we are following Paul if we follow what Timothy teaches us, because these are the ways of Paul. There's all sorts of things we can do with this stuff if we just put him in our little memory banks. Oh, wait a minute. Most of us are kind of old. Our memory banks are like running out of space, or they're locked up, or they got some hot air in there or something. We're just not able to remember what we should. But let's keep going. I think this is great stuff. You know what? It's just fun to talk about. I enjoy talking about this stuff. 1 Corinthians 16:10. Now, this is another one now. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he, Timotheus, may be with you without fear. Okay, before we finish this verse, how do you react to the books of 1 and 2 Timothy? Do you not like them? Do you hate them? Because see, this is what Timothy taught. So if you don't like those books and you think that they're too tough, they're too hard, they're not practical, I'm not going to do it, so you're not going to be modest, you're not going to be where you're supposed to be, you're not going to be the kind of man you should be, then Timothy is going to come visit you and he's going to be in fear because you're mad at him. You don't like the book. You don't like what I preached. So if you don't like what I preached, you don't like being me, so I'm kind of in fear. You know, when I talk to people, in lots of cases, I have some fear there because I know they're not going to understand it. I know the possibility they might even just get mad. I may even lose my job over it. Well, they can't fire you. No, but they can make it so you're not there, which I believe has happened. For me, a couple of number of times. I was removed from First Bible Baptist Church in New York because I taught the Bible what it says about music. Where else? Las Vegas? Again, over the music issue. King James. These guys taught me to be a King James Bible believer. So when I was, I get run out of town. I think South Dakota was a combination Bible kind of a Christian and old. I can't prove the old thing. So Timothy is going to come to these people, and Paul says, listen, now if Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear. So you better be doing the Timothy stuff. Then he won't be without fear. He'll be comfortable around you. For he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. So the books of Timothy, 1st, 2nd Timothy, those things are the work of the Lord. That's just not Paul talking to Timothy. Isn't that good? I mean, remember we talked about this before. I mentioned this a number of times. That when you read the book of Timothy, and you should, who's uncomfortable, you or Timothy, if he was to be there? So here's Timothy talking to you. Let's see here. You're too tired of me talking about this stuff here. You know. Here we go. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Well, there's a little bit there, you know. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is. And you, and Paul is, and Timothy's telling you this as you head off to the gym, where modesty is not in the picture whatsoever, and you got to do what you got to do. I understand the whole issues today. But if Timothy was telling you that, hey, Timothy, can you give me a ride down to the gym? Well, you know, sure, man, but you know, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable to all things. And are you going to be godly while you're down there? Can you be godly while you're down there? I don't think so. But, you know, so this whole point is, would you be fearful to have Paul, Timothy, give you a ride to the gym? You know, this is what he's saying here. If Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Okay, so there's a good one. Point number 10, Timotheus, should be around us without fear. And point 11, he works the work of the Lord. So there you go. Let's stop there. 11 points. Now, tonight, could you stand up in class and give and recite to us? You can use your notes, of course. Put the screen back up to see if anybody's even still here. Well, at least the names are up there. Well, I'll give my dog some Advil tonight. I'll go home and give him some Advil. Works for me, sort of. Huh. So tonight, will you have 11 points that you can type in the on the Pal Talk room here? Between all of you guys, if you're here tonight, could you give me the 11 things that we talked about this morning? We'll try that tonight. There you go. There's our class atmosphere type of a sermon this morning. Okay. So I will stop the audio, the video here. See you later, video folks here.